By reminding you what honor is in the dictionary. A verb form, it says to regard or treat with respect or to give special recognition to. And again, I just want to mention, we do that with agape. And you're going to see today some more of this unconditional honor given. The way we view, particularly others, is going to be so important. As a noun, it means showing of merited respect, one whose worth brings respect or fame. And it's also as a distinction when a person holds a title, that honor is given. And you're going to see that today. And then we looked at a couple of synonyms, and two in particular I wanted to mention, deference and preferred. Those are two that really go hand in hand with honor. So as we go through today, you're going to see this come out again and again. We looked at 1 Samuel last week and saw how Eli honored his son, Hophni and Phinehas, above most everything, above God, above his law, the commands, especially as they pertain to offerings, and in doing so, really above the people that Eli was to be serving. Now, what impact did this have on the people? Well, they were very deeply troubled by it. So as they treated the offerings as common, what happened to the people? They too began to decrease in the value they saw in the esteem they gave to this offering. And so everything became common to them. Now, when we do that, that really is troubling to the Lord, because not only are we dishonoring Him, but we're dishonoring each other and those who He loves so deeply. We saw the same thing happen to Jesus in treating Him as common as He went to Nazareth and taught. And they were wowed by what He taught. And then they began to think about it and took the thoughts of the enemy, which said, well, you know His brother and sisters. He's just like you. He's no different. And what happened? They became offended with Him. But we saw in this verse that because there was loss of honor, there was loss of reward. And what reward did they lose in Nazareth? No mighty miracles could He do there, even though He wanted to. It didn't say He didn't want to. It said He could not do them. So we see the importance of honor. And true honor will always produce a reward back to you. We also saw that true honor is a heart issue in the book of Isaiah. And then we begin to look at a lifestyle of honor by looking at it and examining two groups or two categories, two objects of honor. The first one we looked at was the Lord. We saw in John 8 that Jesus said, I honor my Father, and thus so should we. Simply said, we saw in John 8 again, Jesus saying, it's the Father that honors me. And we see two things with this. Number one, we need to honor Jesus as well. And also, it's a precursor for the second element that we looked at last week that we'll jump into in just a moment. But in John 5, we read this verse, 23. And it says that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. And so that has applications for us today as well, that we need to show honor not just to the Father, but those that He places in our lives that are worthy of honor. And we're going to see that over and over today. Second group we looked at was you and I as part of the body of Christ, or the church, the ecclesia, those called out ones. John 12 tells, Jesus speaking says, if anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. So we see that as we serve the Lord, He's going to bestow honor on us. Now that shouldn't surprise us, because in Psalm 8, we saw several scriptures that talks about how we've been crowned with glory and honor. And if you remember, one of the words for honor in the New Testament is the same word for glory. And then we looked at a number of verses in 1 Corinthians 12. And the bottom line of that is we're to honor each other in the body, no matter what role one is called to. In fact, the less esteemed in the body, the more we should give them honor. And when they receive honor, then we ought to be just as excited for them as it's happening for you and I. So that's what we looked at last week, and we want to just pick up right now, and we're going to move from the family of God, His body, to what I would just term family, or the family unit, here on this earth. Now, let me caution you straightway. When we are dealing with family, those who we know better than anyone else, there is a strong tendency, not willful maybe, but it just seems to happen, and the enemy of our soul can use it. There's a strong move toward us to not honor, to not esteem each other in this family unit as highly as we ought, because we do become in many ways so common with each other. And that's why we must view this and work from a position of agape love, that unconditional love, as we look at that. Go to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. Now, we're going to, again, hit this with a broad brush today, not an in-depth study, but enough to, I believe, prick your heart to want to work in higher levels of honor, and also maybe even to study it more. So 1 Peter 3, verse 7, "You husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel." Now, it's not saying that our spouses are weak, but it's saying to treat them this way with respect and with understanding, because we do value them so highly. "Since she is a woman," it goes on to say, "and grant her honor as a fellow heir." One translation, I believe it's King James, says as heirs together. Again, no male or female in the Lord in that way. "Of the grace, heirs of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." Now, this straightway brings up the subject of authority. And we're going to be dealing with authority today on 3 or 4 levels. And so, authority plays a role in our honoring. We honor those in authority. And if we live righteously, that will go well for us. And you'll see that in a minute. But it also, this last phrase here, and I make this statement unequivocally. Look at the last statement. "So that your prayers may not be hindered." There is no prayer of agreement, in my perspective, more powerful than the prayer of agreement between a husband and a wife. Between a husband and his wife. The strongest. Now, why is that so? Well, we studied our relationship with the Lord and know that it's a covenant relationship. But what is marriage? Marriage is also a covenant relationship, where two people who are in covenant with the Lord and are one with Him come together in a covenant. And now it's a threefold cord with each other plus the Lord in our lives, the Holy Spirit, binding us together. And you know about a threefold cord being very strong. So no stronger power. So why this concept of honor? Because when you're honoring people, strife can't conquer. If you honor each other, if you think the best of each other, if you see each other in this account, and we don't get hurt by something somebody says where they may not have meant what they said, but we just cast that aside and stay walking in this position of love and honor, then there's no stronger power. And so I just want to encourage those of you who are married to see the value of this. Now look at Ephesians 6. And we're going to look at 5 verses here, but we're going to start in verse 2. Now, we're going to be talking, we're still talking about the family, but we're going to be talking a little bit about children here. And parents and grandparents, I want to say to you, don't teach what we're about to study as a one-way deal. Because it's not. We tend to say, you've got to honor me because I'm your parent. That's not the way we want to teach this. We want to teach this as mutual respect, mutual of honor, from our position of authority. And we'll make some other comments about that before long. Look in verse 2. To the children it's talking, and we're going to come back and read 1. "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise." And what is this first commandment? What is this reward for children for honoring their parents? "That it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, I read that verse, and I think about Psalm 91, verse 16. Satisfied with a long life where we behold His salvation. That's a promise, the first commandment with promise. And that's one of the first things we ought to begin teaching our children. Again, in a mutual respect, mutual honoring type environment. I'm about to hit that one. Now look back in verse 1. Children, obey. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In other words, this is God's righteousness at work in us, is for us as righteous people to obey our parents. I still honor my mother as she approaches her 90th year on this earth. And if she tells me, I think you need to do this, then I certainly take it strongly into account. I don't lose that respect even as I grow old. Now, I know sometimes roles reverse. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about continually we ought to have a respect for our elders, our parents. Now, look down next with me. No, let me back up. In that verse, you also see a linkage between honor and what? Obedience. And you can't separate that. You're also going to see next week this concept of submission. In fact, you're going to see it more today. Submitting, making a willful decision to submit yourself, to take you below what you want to do, to submit to the honor of your parents. Now, why is that so important to teach the children? Because that's exactly what you and I are to be doing today in our relationship with the Father. I would state to you that many of us adults have had problems submitting to the will of the Father because we weren't taught to submit to the will, to be obedient to our parents. Selah. And then look at verse 4. And verse 4 is really a verse that testifies that we want to teach this both ways, that you're to honor me, you're to obey me as you submit to me, but know that I will treat you with equal honor back. And look at the warning it gives to fathers, and I believe to all parents. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. So if I'm not provoking them, then what is the opposite of that? I'm honoring them. I'm showing them great respect and great love as I esteem them highly. And again, I know you love your children. I know that we love our grandchildren. But there are times when things don't go exactly like we think they ought. And we can't stop honoring them. We don't want to get over into that area of provoking them, as the Word says to us. Now, a couple of things on this. If you honor your children, you will discipline your children, because you think highly enough of them that you don't want them making mistakes that you know won't please the Lord. This is the honorable thing to do. The other thing that I want to mention is consider how much better instruction might go if you honor the children as you are instructing them. In other words, I'm not saying you're talking to them as a peer. That's not what authority does. Authority instructs from a higher position of authority. But you're doing it in love. And think about the Lord. How does He instruct us? Does He give you instruction by becoming so angry with you that He wants to do something evil to you? No. He does it with gentleness. He does it with His Word for you and I today, because He deals in our spirit man, that inner me. Think so much how things would be better if instruction were given and received in this what? In this culture of honor. Now, we see in verse 6, and I know that's not in your notes, but I just want you to kind of read through verse 6, and let me just tell you, here's another example in verse 6 of honoring without any hypocrisy. You don't honor them, so they'll honor you. You honor them because we're instructed to and because you love them, not trying to get them to honor you. And then we go to verse 8, which is what I wanted to jump to next. Verse 8 says, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. What concept are we talking about him here? The Lord saying, I will honor those who do what? Who honor me. And we can begin to teach our children so that they can see the Lord doing this for them early on in their life, as favor comes that way, in school and in other places. And then I want you to notice where the Holy Spirit placed these scriptures. This is in the last of the letter written to the Ephesians. It's in the last chapter. And in fact, a couple of verses down in 10, Paul starts out, finally. Now, what do? You save the most important things for last to save, to tell people. And this is exactly what he's done with honor. The other thing that I want to mention to you is, you think the more that we walk in honor toward the Lord and honoring in every way that we're talking about these different groups of people or objects of our honor, you think that we will do a better job in walking in the fullness of the power of this armor of God that we put on? I just think it just stresses how truly important it is to him. And this is a good place now for me just to mention as we move to the next one. It's a good place to just mention as we transition talking about authority in the family. This authority on the earth, other authorities on the earth, are also to be honored. And again, I'm going to submit to you that problems we have in this nation where, and let's use political figures that we elect, let's use teachers and other authorities that are in our life. This is the main reason why, in what we just read, those verses about family, while there's no honor for a lot of kids toward anyone who is in a position of authority. In fact, for many, there's outright rebellion. It's not the church's responsibility to teach it. It's not the school's responsibility to teach it. It's parents' responsibility to teach about honor. And this is a big area that if I were talking, had the opportunity to talk to a group of young people who maybe have kids or who are about to have kids, this is one of the main things that I would stress to them. Honor will not proceed to these other areas unless it's taught in the home. In fact, I'll say it this way, and I really already said it. I've mentioned to you before that how you love God's people is a reflection of how much you love the Father. I would submit that the same thing is true to you concerning honor. So let's move to talk about honoring those in government or what we might term civil authorities. Go to the book of Romans. And we've got 7 verses in the 13th chapter, 1 through 7, that I want to read with you. And we're going to read a verse and then we'll talk briefly about it. Again, we can't do an exhaustive study on this today. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities. Can that be more clear? I don't believe I need to explain that. And then it says, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. So God is the author of all authority. Now, here in verse 1, consider the law. When God gave the law, which was what? His authority, so that people would know how to act. He gave it so they would know right and wrong. So there was no sin, really, in the context that we think about it, where people would ask for forgiveness before the law because they didn't know they messed up. And so this just reinforces the fact that God is the author of all authority in this earth. And we'll address some questions shortly about, well, what if? Look at the second verse. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and those who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. So what is he saying here? That if we resist authority, and I'm not just talking about the dictates of authority. If we resist authority itself is really the connotation here. A difference between what they tell you to do and the position of authority that they have. Then this says it is not pleasing to God. Now we're going to talk about what to do when it opposes the kingdom of God and the rights that we have there. Look at verse 3. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Now, this verse is how we want to teach our young people, our children, to walk in honor toward policemen even, those who are in authority over their life. Let me read it to you from the Passion Translation, and I won't have to explain it at all. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right. That's so important we tell our children. You don't need to fear a policeman as long as you're doing what you know is right and what you're supposed to do. But in those who are doing wrong, so then it tells you if you're doing wrong, you're not in that same group. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what is right. And listen to this phrase. And they will honor you. Now think about that in some of the times we're in today with the disrespect back and forth between people and even the police, people of authority, or people and politicians. This says that do what is right and they will honor you. So it's that mutual respect. That is a reward for us who are under authority of doing right, is that they will honor us. Now, I don't take that statement as anything but the way God says things will be. It has nothing to do with anything external. So all of us can expect that to happen, is what I believe the Lord's word is telling us. And then verse 4, for it is a minister of God. So we're to look at these people as a minister of God for good to us. But if you do what is evil, then as we were just talking, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. So there is judgment that will have to come if we're doing evil by these what I would term civil authorities in our lives. Verse 5, wherefore it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. This is saying that we have to be in a submissive mode to people in authority. We have to submit to authority. Now, I'm going to make this statement, and then we'll talk about it more next week, assuming we get through with all this week, that submission, putting your will under others, doesn't occur when you agree with what the other one's telling you. Submission means you put your will under the position of the one that's in authority when you don't agree. And we'll hammer that one some next week, but that is so, so important. And it also leads right into obedience. It ties in there. So we're going to talk about submission and obedience together. And then in verse 6, we can learn from Jesus. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoted themselves to this very thing. Now, what did Jesus say? Render to Caesar's what is Caesar's, and to God what is God. And that's the basic premise that we operate from. When civil authorities breach God's law, the kingdom, the laws of the kingdom of heaven, then we have a right to resist in a number of ways, but one of them is about praying for that person, and you'll see that in a moment. And then in verse 7, kind of a summary, render to all what is due to them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and look at the last one. And again, save the last for the most important. Honor to whom honor is due. And I'll just add the is do. It's obviously in there. Now, that's the summary. But I want you to look down at verse 8. And we're not going to study them. But in verse 8, in verse 10, beyond this, guess what this bumps right up against? Talking about love. Owe no man anything but to love him. And I'm going to tell you, this is not just saying don't owe money to anybody. This is saying we don't have anything that we owe to other people except our love. That agape, that unconditional love. So again, it just shows how these two go together. Now go back to 1 Peter. And I want to look at 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want to look at verse 17, but I only want to look at the last part of it. The first three words we can ignore. So picking up in the middle, it says, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Now don't worry, because we're going to come back to that first part of the verse. In fact, that's the very last group we're going to talk about. But the question I want to ask you with this verse is, when do you honor the king? That person in authority over you? Do you honor them only when you're called before them? Or when you're stopped by one of them for doing something wrong? Or do you honor them as you're talking to your neighbor about what happened or about what you've been summoned to do? It does no good. It's done in hypocrisy. If we honor them to their face and belittle them behind their back. And we'll see that in just a moment. It is just counterproductive. In fact, you don't pray for someone who needs salvation and then just talk terrible about them. What are you doing? You're negating the words you just spoke about what you want the Lord to do in their life. You're confessing the way they are is stronger than what you just prayed for. This was really cemented to me at a National Day of Prayer years ago, where I was called on the morning of and asked would I pray for our president. And this was a president who, as a person, I thought was a pretty good guy, but I did not agree with the policies that this gentleman was pursuing at all. So many directly opposed to God. But I had a dear friend who was there with her son, an adult son. And after it was over, he asked her mom, do we really have to pray the way Minton prayed for him, even though we don't agree with what he's doing? And thankfully she said, yes, that is exactly what the Word teaches us. So it just really cemented to me how we haven't taught this as we should. So as we pray for those who are in authority, I want you to go to 1 Timothy. And we're going to look at the second chapter, as you might guess. But we're just going to scratch the surface. We're not going to go in any detail. We're going to read these first four verses, which we read back in our last study as we were talking about interceding for others in our covenant authority discussion study. But listen to this. First of all, I urge that entreaties, prayers, petitions, and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, even those who you don't agree with, for kings and all who are in authority. So here we are, right back in this authority again. And then I want you to look at the end of this verse. Here's the reward for us doing that as the Lord instructs us, which some, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. There's our reward when we pray as the Lord instructs us to, with honor, for those in leadership. This is good and acceptable in the sight of our Savior. Well, how can you pray that way, Minton? Because look at verse 4. The Lord desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, again, I'm going to say, you don't need to be praying in this manner, mean it sincerely, and turn around and get on the telephone and talk bad about the same person. That's not showing honor. Now, you can say, well, gosh, everybody does that. Yeah, I have too. But the Lord has shown me over and over to the point that I don't like some of the stuff, but I've learned not to criticize and not to name call and some other things because I see that I'm not honoring Him. I'm not being obedient to His word, and I don't want to do anything that hinders what He wants to do in my life. Paul honored authority that was putting him in jail, authority that was sentencing him and doing things. And I want you to think about all the apostles and being in those positions and honoring authorities, even when they were mistreated. But what happened? Acts 12:24 says, but the word of the Lord continued to grow and to be multiplied. I would submit there's a reward that they got from their work. The work of the Lord continued to grow. And we don't need to worry about trying to take them down. Now, I'm not talking about voting here. That's a different matter. You vote for who the Lord puts on your heart. But think about Herod. He made himself out, and the people said, oh, he's like a god. And he got puffed up with pride. And what happened to him? The Lord struck him down. Now, I want you to go back to 1 Peter 2, and I want to look at verse 18. This is talking now in the context of servants. Or I would turn it this way. Those of us who are subject to the authority of another. Let's broaden it out so that we can talk about it in the context of what we're talking here today. About being submissive, it says, to your masters. Let me just read that differently. Be submissive, those of you who are subjected in authority, to those in positions of authorities. And how are we to do it? With all respect. Now, we have people today who don't respect the person, but they also disrespect the office that he's been placed in. Not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. So this is saying we honor the person in the position. And we do that, how? By doing just what we saw in 1 Timothy, by praying for them. Contemporary English Version says this, do this not only for those who are kind and thoughtful, but for those who are cruel. Good News Bible says something similar. It says, show them complete respect, not only to those who are kind and considerate, but also to those who happen to be harsh. Complete respect is the word it uses. Now, when we do, when we talk bad about them to our friends, when we pray in a complaining manner to the Lord, are we honoring them? This tells us don't violate this rule now. Why? Because there are rewards. There are things that the Lord wants to honor you with that if we don't do it, I believe we're hindering.